He grew up on the south side of Houston, but now calls Summerlin, Nevada home. The only sports handicapper in the country to go a documented 14-0 against the spread in the NFL playoffs. With over two decades of experience, he's the go-to sports bettor expert in Houston. He's live from Vegas, but his heart is always in H-Town. The premier wagering consultant in the country. Your favorite sports bettor's favorite sports bettor. This is The Wagering World with 5-Star in Vegas. Presented by MyBookie.ag. America's most trusted sports book.
What's good, Wagering World? It's your boy 5-Star in Vegas, broadcasting live as always from Summerlin, Nevada. But my heart is in Houston, Texas. This is The Wagering World, powered by MyBookie.ag. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.ag. I'm in here with the youngest man to ever manage and operate a casino sportsbook on the Las Vegas Strip. I call him the boy wonder of sports betting, my brother from another, and super producer of the show. Only man I ever known to drop 40 bags on two imported spider monkeys. What's good, Casino Royale?
What's good, 5-Star? What's up, Wagering World? Shout out to all the new listeners, previous listeners, current listeners. And shout out to the spider monkeys, of course, man. I've been trying to post them a little more on my Twitter because a lot of people don't believe I'm talking about actual real-life spider monkeys. Shout out Kingston. I'm going to put them on camera in a couple weeks, man, before the holidays. So we post a YouTube video on that you guys could check out. But Five, let's get into it this week, man.
Got to.
Balanced out last week. Bowl season, your time to shine. Yeah. We're going to get the people some winners. Let's keep it going.
Oh, yeah. We about to really get it going now, man. It's the 12 days of Christmas. You know, we always come up this time of the season. We got all these bowl games, man. It's a great menu for Saturday. We start at 8 in the morning, man. It runs all day. And it's going to be like that pretty much the rest of this year, leading through New Year's Day when we have the college football playoffs and a couple more bowl games. Man, but like you said, they don't understand. A lot of people's minds can't wrap around actually owning an exotic pet like a spider monkey. So of course they think we're monkeying around. But you'll put the videos on them soon, and those who do follow you, they also see the pictures that you post often with them. But I'm gonna tell you about a company that's not monkeying around. That's MyBookie.ag. When your money's on the line, do it with a trusted sportsbook that gives you tools to win like MyBookie.ag. At MyBookie, it doesn't matter if your squad is up or down. Hey, man, you better ease the cash out. I posted for you guys last week. I cashed out right before Green Bay fell to the Giants, would have ruined a 17 parlay. But hey, man, oatmeal always beats oatmeal. If I'm going to tell you, I got to live by it. If I preach it, I got to practice it, man. So, hey, remember to always hit that cash out button. If you invested less money, it's still a win, man. Or you can bet the game live to come out on the winning side. You use my bookie for daily odds boost, same game parlays, and take advantage of huge prize pool contests. Every single sack, fumble, and touchdown is another chance to hit a payday. Hey, man, basketball is back as well. To get started, go to mybookie.ag. On your first deposit, use my promo code. That's 5-Star, F-I-V-E-S-T, 5-Star, F-I-V-E-S-T-A-R. If you're having problems loading with your card, get in touch with us. Give us a DM. We'll get you with our crypto guy. See if we can get you funded. And don't forget to try the MyBookie money bag grab. Hey, man, it's a potential chance here to win some crazy Super Bowl odds on teams that have way, way more likely odds to make it to the Super Bowl. One guy even pulled plus 38,000 on the Chiefs versus Eagles. You're not going to find it anywhere. So bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with mybookie.ag. Hey, man, as we were just saying, man, it's the 12 days of Christmas, you know.
Yes, sir. Sure is, 5-Star. And I'm so excited, man, because you're about to help the kids have a nice Christmas, especially if it's always how the previous year has been. Yep. And you've been cutting up on the 12 days of Christmas.
Man, call me Black Santa Claus during this time of the year. You know, that's pretty much what I do, man. I've been doing this a while. If you followed the old page, 5-Star Wagers, unfortunately got canceled. But now, so, you know, you follow me at 5-Star in Vegas. But hey, I've been doing it a long time. Make sure that you follow on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it. Follow me every day during the bowl season. After we start running on Saturday, I give out a game for 12 straight days, one college bowl game that you can bet on and you can lay the house on, man. And I really enjoy doing it. We've had a lot of prize success. It's all about giving back. And most of all, man, I really excel at these college bowl games. I have an outstanding record, man, over the last 10 years. Betting bowl games. It's just because it's a culmination of all the work. Casino has told you before, I watch all of these games. I don't miss a play. If I miss the game, then I'm coming back on Monday watching the All 22. Like, I gotta see where I'm placing my money. I gotta see what I'm betting on, and that's why I'm very familiar with these teams. As we get later on in the bowl season, it gets a little tricky because we got a lot of opt-outs as we get to the major programs, because a lot of these major programs have guys who want to prepare for their professional career in the NFL, and it makes sense to me. I know if one of my sons is about to go to the NFL, unless it's a national championship, you know, the college football playoffs, he's not playing. He's going to prepare and stay healthy and get ready to earn his living in life. Yeah, because like, bowls have been such an intricate part of my sports journey, man. I really am a big college football guy forever. And I think why is because when I was younger, playing peewee football and stuff, you know, I was one of the few black quarterbacks that was, you know, starting on this team. And we would go to these tournaments and have these big, like, peewee and Pop Warner playoffs and things. I'd look around and most of the teams, unless it was a team that was an all-black team, you know, they didn't have a black quarterback. And that drew me to college football, because watching college football, I saw a lot of black quarterbacks where at that time in the NFL, you didn't see many. I think at that time, maybe Randall Cunningham and Warren Moon were the only starters in the NFL. And one of my memories growing up, I think the first bowl game that I really remember is Rodney Peete, 1988, losing in the Rose Bowl to Michigan State. And it really broke my heart, because, man, I used to love Rodney Peete, because USC looked so good out there in that maroon and that gold, and he was leading them out there. And then, you know, we out here in Louisiana, it's ugly, it's gray, it's raining in the wintertime. You look on TV, you look at California, Pasadena at the Rose Bowl, you looked at the Coliseum when USC was playing their home games, and it was so sunny and beautiful. And I remember that year specifically because Rodney Peete and Troy Aikman were vying for it to be like the face of college football, to be the draft pick, and ended up where Troy Aikman went number one to the Cowboys. I think Rodney Peete went to the Lions later on in the draft. But really an exciting time in college football. And I always remember that Rose Bowl game because Michigan State and their defense shut down USC, and they upset them because everyone thought that SC would win. And I had a bad omen about that game when it started, because they came out in their white jerseys, and I used to like when they wore the scarlet ones. And then I remember another great bowl game, Sino, and I know you probably remember this one. This was more in your age bracket, 2013. You could talk to him about that one. 2013, Jadeveon Clowney with that hit on Michigan's Vincent Smith, man. And the funniest thing is, I remember this game because I was betting that game, and I had South Carolina, and they had just jobbed the Gamecocks on the play before. Like, literally, the referee had gave them the worst spot you ever want to see in college football. Like, he took the spot and put it, like, behind his foot, like, moved it back a whole step when he marked it, and it made it where South Carolina was short. And that's the fourth quarter. It's a tight ball game, and Michigan can run out the clock. And, man, Jadeveon Clowney, man, he just lived up to all the hype with one play. He's made millions off of that one hit during his career, man, because when he came through the line, man, and blew that kid up, I had never seen anything like that. His body went one way, his helmet went the other way. And also, people don't understand that that hit was more than just a big hit. It also was it impacted the game. It gave South Carolina the ball back after a horrible call, and it was a tight fourth quarter game. That was actually at the Outback Bowl, and our LSU Tigers will be playing at that same stadium. It's held in Raymond James in Tampa Bay. Now they've changed the name, though, because, you know, sponsors and money, and now it's called the ReliQuest Bowl, but it's the Outback Bowl originally. Now, which bowl do you remember the most? What's some of your favorite memories of bowl games?
And five star, to be honest, I've been watching football, like you said, for quite some time also and going to college and participating in a lot of the games. I always was interested in the teams that wouldn't make it up playing the bowl games, and it's many of them, but it's one that really, really stood out to me, man. Yep. When I was in high school, the 2006 Rose Bowl, Mr. Vince Young, and that's when I first realized who Pete Carroll was, and I always became a fan. USC was punishing them, like both teams were undefeated, and I thought Vince Young and back against the wall, I'm like, what he gonna do, man? If I'm not mistaken, USC, they were up by I think like 38-26. I never forget this, man. And towards the end of the game, in the fourth quarter, they made a big stop. It was like 4th and 2. USC, they were going for it. They got the stop. They won the game. If not, Vince was gonna get the ball back, and he had a chance to win, man. And I never forget, man. It was like 20 seconds left, man. Vince ran that ball in and scored a touchdown and won that game.
Yeah,
a great fourth quarter comeback, and I think
one
of the greatest bowl games of all time. It's gonna be hard to be topped, especially what he did. He broke some records that year. And that's my opinion right there, 5.
Man, that's probably the best college football game, at least the most one that people remember. I know in our area from Houston, and if not for circumstances outside of my control, I would have been at that game, because me and Vince were really, really cool back then, especially, and he's still my guy. Matter of fact, I need to text him. I want to get him on here and talk to him about that.
Nice.
He's just not realizing that I'm in this space. He just knows me as, you know, what people call me in Houston. I keep that anonymous. That's for the guys that grew up with me, you know, when Kings get different titles as they moved into a different spectrum of their life, and that's how I am now with this 5-star in Vegas, so that's what I roll with. But I'll never forget that game, man. That game, I can still see it like yesterday. And the stop came, they gave the ball. I remember they never gave the ball to Reggie Bush one time on in that series. When they got stopped, the kid that got drafted by the Tennessee Titans, the big kid, was their fullback, and they gave it to him on a dive, and my boy Earl Thomas blew him up, I want to say. And that's how they ended up getting the stop. And after that, I knew it was over, because Vince was supposed to win the Heisman that year. And they gave it to Matt Leiner, so I knew he was going to come with a chip on the shoulder. Vince has to be recognized as probably one of the best quarterbacks in college football history. That gets to another guy who's right up there as one of the best college quarterbacks in history that I remember from a Ben perspective. My all-time favorite bowl game, that was when Mariota lost to Ohio State. Marcus Mariota just won the Heisman. I was one of the few guys in Westgate that was on on Ohio State heavy. I was on Ohio State heavy on the money line, plus 220. I'm talking to guys in the book, and they're like, "Who you on tonight? I know you on Oregon, man. And they're gonna blow them out. They're gonna beat them crazy." And I'm like, I don't like to talk about my bets. And I said that I really enjoyed this. Shout out Jay Cornegie. Shout out Rosemary. Miss Rosemary really used to look out for my wife and I, taking care of us over at the Superbook. And at that time, I was there a lot. And 2015, I will never forget that national championship when Urban Meyer and Ezekiel Elliott, 4 touchdowns from Zeke. That's when he kind of put himself on the national scene. And also, man, Ohio State really dominated that game, because, I mean, they won 42-20, but they turned the ball over 4 times. I mean, I was pulling out my hair in the first half. It seemed like I wasn't going to get there, but second half, complete dominance by the Buckeyes, and one of the biggest tickets that I've ever cashed. And then, of course, you know, we love every time LSU has won it all. It's been exciting, and probably the worst bowl game. Remember that bowl game when they played Alabama, and it was like 8-0 or something like that. I forgot what it was. And no, it was 8-6 earlier in that year when Alabama and LSU had played. And then they played again in the Superdome and got dominated by Alabama. Jordan Jefferson was the quarterback. JJ's older brother was the quarterback. So Justin Jefferson's older brother. Yeah, a lot of great memories from the bowl, man. And looking through this year, we got some really great matchups. I got a couple little beasts. I feel like LSU should have played a better team than Wisconsin. I don't know why they set up LSU. That I feel like LSU should have played Penn State instead of Ole Miss playing them. I know Ole Miss beat LSU, but if you saw both teams all year and you saw that game, I think LSU is a better team than Ole Miss, and actually a better watch too, with more recognizable names. You got Jaden Daniels. Congratulations to him. Just speaking briefly on that, winning the Heisman Trophy. Oh, that's so huge. I've been on Jaden Daniels. Spread can tell you. I've been talking about Jaden Daniels since 2021, telling people to check out the quarterback from Arizona State. He's a great leader. I like his poise. I like his ability to throw the ball. So now he's added, since coming to LSU, unbelievable acceleration. So shout out to LSU staff for training, man. His speed has went to a whole nother level since he went down to Baton Rouge. A well-deserved Heisman Trophy for him. I know some people hollering Michael Penix, but Michael Penix now can use that as motivation as he goes into the college football playoffs. Last week was a little up and down. We were able to salvage the weekend, though. Hey, throw me the keys to the 6-day Lincoln Continental. Let's go quickly through the pass,
All right, 5-star, let's do it. North Dakota State, man, they pummeled South Dakota. He was on a 6.5. Tell me what happened in that one.
Man, we talked about it too much. Remember, we was conversating. You was like, yeah, I know Asaji probably was going to be on it. Yeah, by the time Saturday came, I was on first half North Dakota State because, we always watch the market, but we record the show on Friday. So at the time when we were doing the show and we were laying everything said to go with South Dakota with their past history against them, the home field advantage and all of those things. But then the market started telling on itself, and by Saturday we already knew it was on North Dakota State. We learned from that game. We're going to use that information a little bit later to benefit us when we give out the plays in the next segment.
All right, you was all over Albany +4, and you called the money line. Like, what you seen in that one? Like, what you seen in Idaho, 5-star?
That was my biggest bet of the week. Me and the clients, we went off on this one. Tight game going into halftime. Idaho actually was up 2 points, but hey, they scored really fluky. They had a bomb, and then they had a kick return to get it done. But overall, Albany was in this game. Their defense played really well. They were able to hold Idaho to 22 points in Idaho, in Moscow. And the Great Danes move on. Great quarterbacking again from Reese Poffenberg. 24 for 41, 341 yards, 3 touchdowns. And what I like about him most, he gets chunk plays, man. And I really like the Great Danes going on the road, plus that 21 this week against South Dakota. So you can ring the bell on that one right now. So give me Albany plus 21 at South Dakota State. I think South Dakota State wins. It's going to be really cold, as always, in South Dakota State. But the good thing about it, when you're from Albany, New York, you can deal with the cold. I think the Great Danes are easily inside that 21-point number.
Oh, 5-star. NFL was 50-50. And nobody seen what was about to happen with C.J. Stroud, the Texans, and the Jets. Like, Zach Wilson came out of nowhere. He was looking real, real good in the second half. Once Stroud went down, man, I knew the Texans didn't stand a chance. What you seen in that one, bro?
I saw that the Texans didn't come to play, simple as that. I mean, the game was 0-0 after halftime. What happened is the Jets were put in position to win by the Texans playing dumb. Just, they looked like a young team for one of the few times this season. Will Anderson with just a silly, silly play where he hits the kid late and ends up leading to the first Jets touchdown. That kind of opened the well. It's like when they took the cork off, everything began to flow for the Jets, and that's what happened. That's why the game ended up looking like it was. It really wasn't as a dominant performance as it appeared by the end of the game. Looking forward, we got to see what's going on with CJ, man. Does he get out of concussion protocol? Yesterday on Thursday, he still was in protocol, so it's looking like Davis Mills. But the weird thing is the line has not changed. It's stuck at the +3, and we know what the books are cooking when they do that type of stuff when the starter's out. But the line doesn't change at all for the game, because we know that C.J. Stroud is definitely worth some points. So either he's going to play at Tennessee, or the books scouting to see something in Davis Mills that we haven't seen in the prior years. As far as the Jets, I'll be all against them this week. I can't wait to spread comes up. We're going to definitely talk about that. I'll definitely be on the Dolphins on a bounce back spot. But great job by the Jets. They get a victory, but I don't take too much into it. Besides that, the Texans offense sucked because its 3 best players were out. Tank was out. Nico got hurt early. And then later on, C.J. Stroud's concussed.
All right, man, you was on it with our Bayou Bengals, man. Browning came out and did what he had to do.
Yes, he did.
Knocked off the Colts. What you seen in that one?
I saw that Cincinnati had the better backup quarterback. Gardner Minshew, he's all right, but he turns the ball over too much. Jake Browning is a really good quarterback. I scouted him in the preseason, and he jumped off the film when I was looking at all the preseason film on all the teams, he stood out as one of the few players who looked like he should be starting when they were having, you know, garbage time in these games. And now he's producing and showing. Of course, he has a great offensive mind leading him, and he got some great offensive weapons over there. If people are sleeping on the Bengals, they can still get in the playoffs even without Joe Burrow. We're up against the break, a huge delectable bowl menu that's up for us to feed off of. It's time to have a buffet type of weekend. Starts on Saturday, man. We got games from 8 in the morning to 8 at night. I can't wait to give you guys some winners as we begin the 12 days of Christmas. Send us out, Ceno.
You could rich a million, your left wrist. Keep in perspective, we on God's time. The world is yours. What happens when dealers reduce to addicts? What happens when kings don't see their potential status? What's your exit plan? Face to face with my omens, I never ran. Stood on stages, most never can. Pyrotechnics and leather pants. Shifting the culture. Mention me with Mick Jagger and Bono like your poster. I'm standing next to rookies somehow. They looking older. The altitude I'm at is so cold it'll make your nose run. How you expect to get love if you don't show none? I should send you lows against on the store run.
We're back in the wagering world. As always, we're broadcasting live from beautiful Summerlin, Nevada. As always, it's beautiful, man. We're really blessed to be here. And I'm in here with the youngest man to ever run a casino sports book on the Las Vegas Strip. My younger, what up, Ceno?
Wow, what's good, Five Star?
What'd he do?
I think we forgot a game, man. You know we transparent on this show. All the way transparent. And I think it's kind of cliche, but I'm going to have to send the round of applause in this one, man. We got to let the people clap. Yeah, we're going to enjoy those tunes right there. Five Star, what I said about them Dallas Cowboys versus the Philadelphia Eagles, it was a straight slaughterhouse.
And I'm grateful.
Blowout.
I'm grateful.
Five Star. Hey, I finally got you, man.
No.
It took a while.
No.
The guru. Hey, it took a while, but I finally got the guru on one, man.
You didn't get me. You didn't get me. Brent, talk out the game. Now, I did lose on the over on that game that I gave out to the people, but we watched the market. Hey, the supreme clientele, I know each and every one of the members listen to this show every week, and they can attest we were on the Cowboys first half minus 2.5 because we read markets. We didn't just start this, we've been doing this a really long time, so we could tell when it's time to pounce. And that actually was one of our biggest wins of the weekend, so we appreciate you, Ceno Royale. You made me look at the game twice, you made me think twice, but the market overwhelmingly told me to take those Dallas Cowboys first half minus 2.5. But what I will admit is that, hey, I'm starting to kind of consider your Dallas Cowboys to get to the Super Bowl pick. It's looking a little enticing right now. All right, you know what time it is. It's time to be where our feet are at. It's time to jump in this present, man. Hey, man, give me the keys to that 2021 Rolls Royce Dawn. Hey, man, let's go over here and mosey on down through the present. Get to this money, man. We got a nice menu this week, Ceno.
All right, Five Star, let's do it. Let's take a trip down to Orlando, man. We have Appalachian State, Miami, Ohio. We got Appalachian State. They laying 6.5 in the Cure Bowl. What you liking this one, big brother?
Hey, man, we got two really good teams. Appalachian State, Miami, Ohio. Appalachian State was pretty hot leading up to their conference championship game, and then they got handled pretty handily by Troy. Troy's a good team, though, and they're going to be facing Miami, Ohio. I'm a real big fan of their coach, Chuck Martin, and the program he runs down there. Unfortunately for him, he's lost his quarterback, Gabbert, the last three seasons. He keeps getting redshirted and coming back, and he keeps getting injured. But he does have a steady backup in Ivion Smith. He's been with the team 2 years. He actually won us some money last season in the Bahamas Bowls as they upset, I believe, Florida International it was. in that game. No, UAB. They upset UAB at 6.5-point dogs. So they had that same line out there again. So once again, they're a live dog at plus 270, man. Also, conditions are saying that it's going to be a little rainy. Might be some high winds, and that plays directly into the hands of this Miami, Ohio team who wants to control the ball on the ground. They're a really tough team. They're 10-3 against the spread this season. They're 6-1 against the spread away from home, and they've won now 5 straight games. So we'll be on Miami, Ohio, plus 6.5. Ring the alarm, and we'll also be on that money line, plus 270. Ring the alarm, ring the alarm, ring the alarm.
All right, 5-star. Let's go down to University Stadium in Albuquerque, New Mexico. We got the Aggies. They playing in their backyard against Fresno State. They laying 3.5, 5-star. What's your input on this one?
Hey, man, these are two more good teams. That's all we're going to see this time of the year. New Mexico State, you said in their backyard, they'll be playing in their rival, University of New Mexico Stadium. New Mexico State has been good all year, man. Jerry Kills did an amazing job. They had the illness issues in Minnesota that made him resign, and then he ends up coming to New Mexico State and revamping their program. Then you have Fresno State. Their coach, Jeff Tepfer, is out. And Jeff Tepfer, man, is a really good coach, and I think that those kids are going to play for him. They have a quarterback that I really like in Mikey King. I can tell you one thing. Fresno State has not been good against the spread this year. They have not been covering games. So with that said, I really like the way that Diago Pavia, and even like his backup even more. He has a backup in his kid, Berlewitz, who has potential to be a star. I'd like for Jerry Kill actually to play him. And when you get in these bowl situations, sometimes they go with the youngsters because they can save their red shirt. But he looked really good in a bad beat we had on New Mexico State against Liberty. But I think the New Mexico State puts up points. I know the Fresno State can put up some points as well. How do they deal with their head coach being out? With that said, I think it's a very short number on the over and under. It's only 51.5, and I think that this game can definitely get there. Usually in bowl games, teams pull out all the stops. So we're going to go over 51.5. Ring the bell. All
right, 5-star. It's only right I saved the best bowl. Well, the last bowl for us this weekend. You know we're on it next week again. The New Orleans Bowl. We got the Raging Cajuns. They playing the Jacksonville State Gamecocks, 5-star. The Gamecocks laying 2.5. What you think about this one?
Man, I think that the New Orleans Bowl should be renamed the Raging Cajun Bowl because it seemed like Louisiana Lafayette plays in this bowl every year. If I'm not mistaken, I think they've been in this bowl like 5 straight seasons. Well, this is another opportunity for them to win there. They have a young coach. He took over last year when Billy Napier went to Florida, and he's done a really good job. DeSormo. And DeSormo is, he has Chandler Fields, not a quarterback. Ben Woolridge, who was the starter all year, got hurt, but man, Chandler Fields is a veteran. He's played in this game before, and he shined in this game before, and he really, really looked good last week. Jacksonville State, this is their first time, playing in the bowl games. They move up from the FCS to the FBS, and now Rich Rodriguez, takes his guys and try to get them a bowl win in their first season playing with the big boys, but I don't think they get it done. I'm going to be on the Raging Cajuns, man, on this one. Give me the Louisiana Lafayette plus 3.5. Bring the alarm.
Ring the alarm.
All right, 5-star, let's go down to Montana. We got the FCS championship. Montana getting a point against North Dakota State. You did real good in the FCS, 5-star, so I definitely think everybody should listen to you on this one. What's your input?
I think since you like Drake so much and you like to quote his lyrics, I'm going to use one. I think the North Dakota State is looking for revenge. Because, man, they lost 3 games this season. This is the going to be the 11th straight time they went to the championship, to the national championship game. They won 9 straight until last year when they lost to South Dakota State. Hey, man, I got to roll North Dakota State. You rarely get them on a money line or a -1. I know the Montana's tough. We know that Bobby Hawk is a good coach. They barely got by a couple weeks ago when we laid the 17 points with them at home against a Furman team that is not working with anything like this North Dakota State team. The Bison are really going to be pumped up for this one, man. They just beat Montana last year in the playoffs, 49-26. And this team doesn't want to be the first team in that long, rich history that did not get to the finals in the last decade. So I expect them to handle their business. We will be on North Dakota State -1 and money line. Ring the bell. Ring the bell. All right, guys, we're up against one. After the break, we're going to have a 9-year veteran in the NFL join us. He started over 100 games. He also was an all-conference performer at the University of Houston. Rex Hadnot joins the Wagering World. After we return, we'll talk some shop with him. We'll see who he likes to win the college football championship and the Super Bowl. Ceno, send us out. Yeah. Don't you go nowhere. Beats forever. We're back in the Wager World. It's your boy Five Star in Vegas, and as always, I'm in here with my co-host, the youngest man to ever run a casino sportsbook on the Las Vegas Strip, my brother from another Casino Royale. Hey man, you know it's Christmas time. We out here in Summerlin. We're in these red mountains. We're looking at these golf courses. You know, thinking about a whole bunch of money. It's Christmas time. We gotta run up this bag, man, cause it's always us versus the machine. Trying to put some gifts under those Christmas trees for everyone listening to this podcast right now. Man, we got a special guest. We got a friend of the show here and a friend of mine. He was all conference twice at the University of Houston. He played 9 years in the NFL, started over 100 games. Hey, the Wagering World welcomes Rex Hadnot.
That's what's up. Pleasant greetings. Wagering World, what's popping?
Hey, man, it's always good to speak to you, brother, man. I had to get you on here. We've been talking a long time about getting you on, and I'm glad that we could finally make it come to fruition. I know you're a very busy man, and we appreciate your time for stopping in to the Wagering World.
Yeah, God bless you and your message and the platform that is designed for His intentions. So, you know, don't grow weary in your efforts, man. The crew, y'all doing an excellent job, man. And don't forget about our link that got us together, AFAC. He gonna want a Wagering World package also.
Oh yeah, man. Definitely. We shout out to that. I actually used to coach with one of my best friends in the world, Curtis Bolden, who's Rex's best friend, and he put us together. Curtis and his uncle run a great program, Athletes for a Change, or AFAC, out there in the Houston area. And Rex has been a big proponent of it. He's one of the main affiliates in there, and they push that program. They have a great program they do for young offensive linemen who are trying to, you know, get to the next level, get D1 like Rex was, and get to the pros. Like, tell them a little bit about the program that you got, Rex.
Yeah, I've been partnered up with AFAC, like you said, Five Star, for quite some time now, and it's been a real tremendous blessing. So we've done various programs and different activities that, you know, not only include offensive linemen, but we also have some skilled players as well. But we have, like I said, a diverse platform where we reach out to these young people to just continue to, like, the goal mission statement is for AFAC, act on the needs of the at-risk youth in the community. So it's a lot of different things we do. We're going to have to get me back on the show so we can discuss that in more detail.
Yeah, definitely, man. That's one of the things in Houston, it's a lot of things I missed. I miss my dad, rest in peace. I miss the culture. I miss the food. But, boy, I really miss working with those kids out there with Kurt every day, man. I was over the offense. I was the offensive coordinator and the quarterback's coach, man. And a couple of pupils that, you know, we had under our wings of doing some really great things. So you guys go check out Athletes for a Change, AFAC. Hey, man, make a donation. Get in touch with these guys. They're doing some really great work in the community. Rex, let's get to a little football now, man. People don't understand, okay, you were one of these guys who you kind of had the same situation that Dak Prescott, Tom Brady had, where you went middle round, 6th round draft pick, ended up being a starter. How's the grind? Tell guys about the grind coming from being a guy who's drafted in the mid rounds and the lower rounds and working yourself up to becoming a starter in the NFL. What was that grind like?
A blessing, a God-given blessing, five-star, like you said, that being drafted, I was a sixth-round pick. You know, guys like that really aren't supposed to do much. And, you know, luckily, like I said, well, blessed, God had a plan for me. So that day-to-day grind, it will make you or will break you. And it ain't nothing you can fake. So, you know, you really got to be in tune with what it is that you want to do and how God present the plan. You definitely have to be bold and fearsome of only Him and achieving that. So, yeah, it definitely helped me in life.
Yeah, that's just a segment. That's what people don't understand is life after football. Guys, babies, when you get drafted, you know, you spend your early 20s and mid-20s. If you're blessed enough as you were, you make it to your 30s. Playing, but the average shelf life for an NFL player is 3 years. So most of these guys have a lot more things that they have to do in life after football. A lot of them struggle with it, and I'm glad that you were able to use the lessons that you had from playing football and applying to life to make you a better human and a better man.
Yeah, that's a great point that you just made, five-star, about being a young man getting into a grown operating entity, a business entity, and being able to navigate through that, touch and reach and hold on to the right people that God places in life. And my life was especially an anchor for me to be able to, again, be rooted when I got finished playing and continue to use this blessing to touch others.
Yeah, and I know you started over 100 games. You started with began with the Miami Dolphins out there, and you were played guard. You played some center. A lot of people don't understand how important, especially that center position, is on the offense. In my opinion, center is the second most important position on the offense behind the quarterback, because you guys are over all of the calls on the offensive line, dealing with getting you guys in the right position to win. You got to be cerebral. Usually the center's the smartest guy on the team, man. And you saw that last week when the Titans upset your Miami Dolphins. The reason why they were able to be successful, I feel, is like with the starting center going out for the Dolphins, it caused a lot of problems with protection and communication. Give these guys a little rundown on how complicated and how intricate it is being a center in the National Football League.
Again, another awesome jewel you just dropped right there, because you got to remember the center is usually the guy that's going to touch the ball every play of every snap of the game. So, you know, I got to really say that those guys, and not being biased, are probably the most important on the field. And just like you said, having to have attributes like being a communicator, and then while being physical, definitely does pay off for that position. So, yeah, you bring up a great point, man. Centers and linemen, period, should get a lot more cluck for their buck, or maybe bang for their buck, or maybe just more bucks.
Right, and you're making that happen right now as you teach these new skills. I'm always amazed at the new techniques that you and Curtis are always giving these kids on the way to play the line in a smarter and more efficient way. Going back to your playing career, you started out, as I said, with the Dolphins, man. Started there at guard, started there at center. How was the nightlife in Miami, being a Miami Dolphin, especially you, a young man of 23, 24 years old, living in Miami?
Yeah, it definitely takes a mature-minded individual in that landscape. Definitely, like I said, just being a younger man, getting in, going from East Texas to Piney Woods and sitting in Houston for a little while and then thrust into that atmosphere. You know, definitely had to try to keep the best focus that I could while I was there. For those 4 years, I did, you know, I had kids during that time. Again, that's some more personal info. Y'all have to get me back on so we can go further into that. But I definitely had to be mature enough to handle, like you said, that lifestyle, that nightlife, and still be a professional.
Yes, most definitely. Miami is one of those dream destinations for draftees. You know, that's one of the places that people really want to play. I'd probably say them and the Cowboys are probably the two most popular with the fact, maybe the 49ers, because you got weather, man. Weather is an impact, because I'm sure that you saw the difference when you moved from Miami to Cleveland, right?
Yeah, most definitely. Going from a, you know, having practice after a hurricane on the outside of the facility because all of the lights and stuff were still out, to, you know, practicing in snow. Definitely can say God got my attention.
So I want to ask you this from a betting perspective. Offensive line is huge to me. Like, if you don't have a trench play on either side of our offense and defense, but especially offense, I don't want to look to wager on you at all. In your opinion, what's the top NFL offensive lines right now currently in the league?
Currently, I definitely got to go with that San Francisco 49er group is putting together some excellent work. I definitely would, you know, that Dallas Cowboy line from week to week, you know, but one of the unsung lines, I would say that probably don't get a lot of recognition, I think, is that Buffalo Bill offensive line, because they play hard. And those guys embody not only their coach, but the mentality with their quarterback. So got to go, for me, San Francisco. Dallas is like a ghost there too, and then that Buffalo Bills offensive line.
You know, we're broadcasting in Houston right now, and you were a legend at the University of Houston, man. They know you well in that Third Ward area. You started a lot of games over there. I was amazed at the amount of knockdown blocks and pancakes that you had in college. I was like, wow, this dude is really blowing people up off the ball. But what are your thoughts on them dismissing Dana Holgorsen and looking forward now with the new hire, as they hire former Tulane coach to be the head guy over there?
Yeah, I just caught wind of the Coach Fritz hire. Congratulations to him. I mean, congratulations to anybody that has had that job, and anybody in the future may have it. It's a tremendous platform. I had three head coaches myself at U of H during my time, and since I've left, there have been 11 head coaches. So, preferably now that they'll find some stability, somebody that can really harvest this area and recruit the area properly, not just the greater Houston area. Well, yeah, the greater Houston area, including, you know, that the small country towns that you got, that really have a lot of great players. So, you know, hopefully Coach Fritz, who had some success this past few years at Tulane, I know I did witness that, would do an excellent job with his opportunity. And another thing, since this is broadcasting in Houston, we are available. Rex had not at Trenches Live, our platform, we're available to help out in any capacity that we can for that program and of the professional program.
Yeah, you guys do a lot of work there. You heard him. We're going to let you get it out one more time before we get off the air. Now I notice, man, you talk a little bit now that you've retired and no longer in the NFL. You have a really good perspective on betting these games, man, and you see some things that others don't watch. Like myself, we talked about, we actually watch the linemen and what they're doing and things like that. Looking forward, who do you like right now to win the AFC, and who do you like to win the NFC?
Well, you know, it's a lot of football left, Five Stars. A lot of football left, Wagering World. So, just from today, you know, got to, I'm going 49ers, and I'm going, you know, I got to go Patty Mahomes, man, Chiefs. That's what I'm looking forward to. That would be a rematch, I guess.
Yeah, that would be a rematch, and I think that the NFL would love to see that matchup. So you think that the Chiefs get it back together and find themselves again before the Super Bowl?
Well, like you said, we're broadcasting in Houston. I'm a quote shout out Rudy T. Never discredit the heart of a champion. But just for my own gaff, I did put a futures wager on the Broncos, so we'll throw them in there.
Oh boy, that would be a nice one if the Broncos came through for it. They got the coach and they got the quarterback to Definitely Done Novice, can they get in the dance, you know?
Yeah, we'll see.
All right, I know you still got ties to college football, too, with you being an all-conference performer yourself. What do you think about the college football playoffs? We got Rex Hadnott here again, former NFL pro, 9-year veteran, over 100 starts in NFL, local product right here, University of Houston, really shine there, man, 2-time all-conference. What do you think about the college football playoffs this year? Who do you think wins it?
Well, you know, just to break down those four teams, in my perspective, again, respectfully, you know, Texas, have they had any overall team improvement from last year? Obviously playing Washington, got to dispel the Pac-12 stigma. And then for my Alabama, Michigan, Alabama, is it the QB or the team? And Michigan, with the admin issues, are they able to oversee that? So out of those four teams, Five Star, I know I can give you a straight shot, and I don't plan on it because, like you said, got some ties into this, and I just want to see how it plays out. So, but that was my breakdown on those four teams.
Right. That was a great breakdown because you pretty much did a synopsis of the main winning points for all four teams in that situation. And moving forward, what do you think about it changing to 12 teams, the 12-team playoffs now?
Yeah, it makes sense. The way they're paying the players, just like how the pros got to model the game after that, it's kind of cynical for it to be amateur athletics with, you know, guys getting paid, but at the same time, amateur is going to turn itself into a professional. So it's good to see. I'm glad they're expanding it. It seems like it's bringing a lot of excitement to the sport, and then, you know, hopefully that can continue to permeate into these communities and just upbuild society.
Rex, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. You know, we talk all the time off the air, man, and you are always just a great person to, you know, to speak to. It's always positive energy. It's always positive thought. And like myself, you always remember who you are and where you came from. You practice humility, man, and you're a really good brother. We really appreciate you for joining the Waging World, and we hope to have you back soon. Before we get you off here, tell the people one more time where they can come find out about AFAC and also about your camp that you do for the linemen.
Yeah, at Trenches Live, God bless you and God bless the whole crew that works with the Wagering World. Like I said, following you guys and really becoming more and more in tune and excited with you all and what you're doing. Like you said, keeping that energy right is definitely a message that can continue to permeate. So at Trenches Live, they can check us out. Like you said, Mr. Curtis Bolden or myself, we'll be responsive to the pages. AFAC Athletes for a Cause. I know y'all hear Five Star saying for a change, but that is the OG. That is the OG.
That's right.
And they have formed it, and now it is.
I always do that.
For a cause. I was gonna make sure I told Curtis, so he was like, "Hey man, you getting it wrong? No, we don't want Uncle Willie on our road, so we gonna get it right."
No,
that's the OG
way.
I love
Uncle Willie.
Yeah, straight up. So again, thank you guys for having me on, man. Keep with the great work. God bless y'all.
God bless you too. That's Athletes for a Cause once again. And once again, that's my guy Rex Hadnott, man. One of the best dudes that I know. Former NFL star, former UH star. Hey guys, we're up against the break. When we get back, we got the only Sacramento Kings fan that I know. My guy Spreader Stay. Continue to be Ghost Pepper Hot, man. Let's get on this NFL. Let's keep these Christmas gifts coming. Send us out, Cino.
Flatten like always, marble flow hallways, smoked out all day, trying to get more paid. Long as the law say the same, man. Long as the law say the same, man. We can have championship rings, touch any and everything. Come out on top, long as we don't stop.
All right, we're back in the Waging World. Hey, we're at the final segment, the people segment. As always, I'm joined by my guy, the OG of the Waging World. He's been with me since the start. The only Sacramento Kings fan that I know. Spread a stare. What's good?
Man, I should put a beam on my house, five stars. I continue like the beam. To win. We gave out the Browns last week, and we're going to find more winners this week. But before we get to that, let's talk about four games that I think are fascinating. The first one I need to talk to you about is the Dallas Cowboys coming off that big win over the Philadelphia Eagles to put them in a position to potentially win the NFC East, potentially be the number one seed. However, to do that, they're going to have to get some tough wins, and it starts in Buffalo against the resurgent Buffalo Bills. Who do you like in that one?
Man, this is a tough one right here. We got two teams that are playing really good football right now, two quarterbacks who are playing really good football. The line is saying Bills, I don't know how the weather's going to be. Any word on the weather yet out there?
It's going to be 45 degrees, between 10 to 20 mile an hour wind, 75% chance of rain.
Uh-oh, that's bad news actually for the home team, because now that means that the game's going to become a defensive game with running involved. If the winds are that high, we know quarterbacks can play through monsoons. What they can't deal with is a lot of wind, and I know that Josh Allen has a strong arm. But, man, it's hard to play the style of football that he plays in that type of conditions. Dak Prescott has been unbelievable. He's protecting the ball. I think that Mike McCarthy is smart enough to understand that he has the more talented teams and he protects those guys. Hard as it is for me to say it, man, I'm going to have to go with the boys in this one. I'm going to go with the Cowboys on the road. You would think that with the Bills being at home, we know in prior years, if the Cowboys weren't as highly ranked with the books as they obviously are with the line that we're seeing, with it only being plus 1.5, that usually that the Bills would be about a -6 in this game, because home field advantage alone usually counts for 3 points in the NFL, and the type of environment they have at Orchard Park, it usually counts for a little bit more than that. They usually get about 4 points at home. So with the book saying plus 1.5 with the Cowboys, they're telling you that they think that the Dallas is the far superior team. So I'm going to be on the Cowboys on this one.
All right, Sunday Night Football will feature arguably the best team in the AFC. Statistically, they are. It's the Baltimore Ravens. Depending on your book, you can get this at +3 or +3.5 right now for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Do you think the Jaguars bounce back this week, five star? I think it's an interesting spot to play a home dog.
You know how I feel about their coach. He's one of my favorite coaches in the game, and that's Coach Peterson. You know, he's from Monroe, like my family, man, so I always root for him. This one's going to be hard for them, man, and the reason why is Trevor Lawrence. He came back really early from a really terrible ankle sprain. He didn't look that good in Cleveland in the first half, but he did pick up steam a little bit in the second half. This one has a chance to be really, really tight. It's really hard. It's almost you flip the coin. But it's a situation where I think Jacksonville needs the game just a little bit more. Last year they played a classic and we had the same exact line. Remember, Jacksonville won by 1 point. So now do the Ravens approach this game with revenge on their mind, or is it just another weekend of playing football? I always got to take points when it's difficult like this, when it's a close one. And I also know that the Jags are a pretty good home team, man. Trevor Lawrence did look a little bit better in the second half. And as I said, I trust Coach Doug Peterson. With those amount of points, I got to take that hook. That hook might be the difference. So give me Jacksonville +3.5.
The Kansas City Chiefs are coming off what I think is the least controversy of all time. I mean, the guy was offside. We're not going to spend a lot of time on that. But now it's -7.5. They head to New England to take on the Patriots. The Patriots, of course, have extra rest and are coming off a win over the Pittsburgh Steelers last Thursday night. Can Bailey Zappe do it again? Will he keep it close at home against the Kansas City Chiefs?
This one is going to be an ugly game. Another situation where weather plays a part. It's what I'm seeing so far. It looks like it's going to be sunny. It seems like Kansas City should be really motivated for this game. New England is coming off a bye. There's a lot of talk this week about Belichick. What troubles me for the Kansas City side of the ball is that Belichick has done pretty well against Patrick Mahomes over his career. And still to this day, even though the Patriots suck as a team and have a terrible win-loss, they're still a really good defense. And so especially against pass, they're one of the best teams in the league at holding quarterbacks now. So a struggling Patrick Mahomes going into, you know, Foxborough, I can't trust him like that. If anything, I lean toward the points, but my better play on this game would definitely be the under. I like the way that Chiefs defense plays. Bailey Zappe, you know, he had a once-in-a-lifetime performance last week. I think he struggled this week. So I'll be on the Patriots and the under on this one.
All right, and that game is coming in at 37. One of the best stories of the NFL season will not be continuing this week, five-star. C.J. Stroud will not take the field for the Houston Texans. Looks like it'll be Davis Mills leading the team into Tennessee.
It's been confirmed, Spread, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. Has it been confirmed?
No, go ahead. I was 90% sure it's going to be Mills.
I don't know if it's confirmed, and the reason why I don't know if it's confirmed, Spread, is because most of all, the line hasn't changed. It's still at 3, so anybody who wants Tennessee right now should be jumping all over that if they think that Davis Mills is playing. But also, we got to keep this in mind, Spread, that if Stroud doesn't play, and as you said, all signs are pointing to him not playing. He did not practice on Thursday. He hasn't practiced all week, but it has not been confirmed yet out the camp. But like you said, everything is going towards him not playing. It's strange to me that the line has not changed one bit, even with Davis Mills coming in. We know that C.J. Stroud should count for at least about, I'd say, 3.5 to 4 points in this game, but the books don't seem to see it that way. So I'll be on the Texans, man. I just can't understand why the line hasn't changed. It's something fishy, kind of like the situation where we saw last week with the Browns and Jags, where after they named Trevor Lawrence as being in, the line did not change, even though he was going to be facing against Cleveland's fourth string quarterback. It's the fourth start of the year. And Flacco came from, like, working at Home Depot or something, and he still was the favorite in that game. And so it's kind of funny to me that the Texans' line isn't changing at all. And with that said, I think they're a proper team. And I also think that D'Amico Ryans is a really good coach. I think that him and Slow would get something together to make life easy for Davis Mills if he does have to start. One of Davis Mills' best performances in the past was actually at Tennessee against the Titans. And I also think that that lucky win that the Titans got last week in Miami isn't a precursor to them turning around the season. It just was what it was. A great job by a great coach. Mike Vrabel put them in a position to win. The players took advantage of it. But I don't think Will Levis will have that consistency this week. And expect the Texans to be really petty this week because the Titans are wearing the Houston Oilers jerseys this week on purpose to kind of mock them. So I'll be on the Texans +3, and I would not be surprised at all if the Texans go in there and win.
My theory on the line is they just expected Stroud to be out when they put the line up on Sunday because he was concussed right in the game. And with the way the new concussion protocol rules are, if you're not practicing by Wednesday, it's real rare for them to get on the field. That's why I just assumed Davis Mills would be out there, but thank you for correcting me. That's not confirmed. And boy, if you have the +3, +3.5, depending on your book, because I see 3.5s out there right now too, it could be feeling pretty good with C.J. Stroud in there. The final concern for the Texans, I would think, would be the injuries to the receivers, as we know that Stroud had developed chemistry with both Collins and Dell, so it'd be nice to see those guys out.
Nico's trending toward playing, Spread. He's trending toward playing. I actually was talking about that on the bench. He's trending toward playing. I think that Nico will be back. We know Tank's gone for the season, but I just trust the Texans, and we know these books, man. These books don't dangle these numbers out here for no reason. They want you with that 3, and all the stuff that just happened this past week, that's a bad number. I feel like it should be Titans -6 with Davis Mills as the quarterback, with the Titans coming off of a big victory in Miami, with Will Levis seeming to be playing better, with the great DeAndre Hopkins looking great. You got the great running game, great defense over there, and they're at home. But for some reason, it's only a field goal. And when I see stuff that stinks, that makes me think, hey, I better take it.
Maybe people aren't taking a lot into that Titans win. A lot of things went right, including McDaniels forgetting that he had a running back. Shanahan wouldn't have done that as well, right?
He forgets a lot. I think from what I've been seeing on Hard Knocks, it looks like he likes to hit that bowl a little bit.
Oh, yeah, he does. I don't think he ended up sticking to it, but I saw a quote from him a long time ago where he said he wouldn't go to coach a team that didn't have legalized weed in the state. But speaking of that, let's get some money in these guys' pockets. Let's move right on over to the ball and parlay. Five-star. with the college. You know, we're going to have a bunch of great college games on Saturday. I know you got some winners for us there, but we're also going to have some NFL games taking the field. That's right. It'll be all day of NFL action Saturday and Sunday. And the very first game, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Pacific, the Minnesota Vikings travel to Cincinnati to take on the Bengals. The total here is 40.5, and I am giving out the Cincinnati Bengals -3. This is going to be a common theme if you're following me during the month of December. I like to fade dome teams when they go outside into the elements, and that's the case here with this Minnesota Vikings team. The Vikings, of course, having problems at quarterback. Josh Dobbs was a great story for a little while, but that story seems to have ended, as it looks like Nick Mullins will be out there. Jake Browning has been excellent against the blitz, and we know what Brian Flores likes to do. That's right. He's just second overall in EPA against the blitz, right behind Brock Purdy, over his last three games, averaging 9.8 yards per attempt against the blitz, 13 for 21 against the blitz, three touchdowns, no interceptions. So I think Jake Browning and the Cincinnati Bengals will be able to take advantage of a weakened Minnesota Vikings team. Look for them to continue to win. And five-star, don't look now. And in a conference full of flawed teams, this Cincinnati Bengals team is still alive.
Yeah, they're very much alive because they have one of the best coaching staffs in the league. I have much respect for their offensive side and defensive side of the ball when it comes to entering into these games with the right type of plan, the right approach. They've always been really good at that. We've been on them like 3 years. Rice Bread, Ryan Whittleman, hey, your boy from around your way, you said from Folsom, hey, he's looking like the real deal. Jake Brown is a pro. He's a step down from Joe Burrow, but he strangely can do a lot of the same things that Joe Burrow does. He's kind of like a poor man's version of him. He can move a little bit. He's very accurate with the ball. He sees things well at the line. So I'm a Jake Browning truther. And I also think that blitzing the Bengals is a bad idea when you have my guy Jamar Chase on the outside. So I'll be heavy with you on the Bengals, like about 10 units. What you got for us this week, Ceno?
All right, five star. We're going to keep this one real, real simple, man. Team real hot. They chasing the spot to get to the top with KC or take first place, man. We're going to ride with the Denver Broncos +4.5 against the shaky Detroit Lions, man.
What? You going against your Detroit Lions? That's hard to believe right there.
Yeah, man, ever since Thanksgiving, the Lions, they haven't been right, five star. They barely beat our Saints. They lost to the Bears. Like, come on now. And Russell Wilson and Sean Payton, they have a point to prove. Like I said, they're a game behind KC. They get that, they in the building. So give me the 4.5.
I love that play. I'm definitely feeling you on that one. As we talked about off the air, I wouldn't be surprised if the Broncos money line, that shaky Detroit Lions defense. Man, I'm holding a ticket on Green Bay. And if they hadn't fumbled against the Giants and Mobster DeVito at quarterback, man. Did you see DeVito's? Anybody see DeVito's? His agent, this guy looks like he's going to an Italian funeral, man. It was hilarious seeing the real mob family. So, yeah, DeVito upsets the Packers in a really puts a halt to my movement that I've been having. I thought the Packers were moving towards winning the NFC North, and I was going to be able to steal that ticket at +450. It's still in play, though, because the season isn't over yet, and Detroit is falling fast, so I'll be with you on that one, Ceno. I'll be with Ceno and Spread. I like both their plays. Me, I'm going to take it to the college world. You know, there's too many college bowl games. I got to give you guys something to enjoy from the amateurs. Let's go with Ohio +3.5 in the Myrtle Beach Bowl against Georgia Southern. Hey, man, the book got this one all wrong. Not only are the Bobcats the better team, they also have the best player on the field in Curtis Rourke. Rourke got injured early this year. I don't know if you guys remember that. In week uno, we took the San Diego State Aztecs at home against Ohio. Ohio was favored. Ceno tried to book me, and I told him San Diego State, and San Diego State won, and they hurt Curtis Rourke in the first half of that game. He came back the next game, but he's been a little gimpy all season. He's still dealing with that horrific ACL that he had a year prior to that, but he comes from pro pedigree. As you know, his brother played in Canadian Football League, and he also was the quarterback at Ohio, and he's a backup for the Jacksonville Jaguars. So I really like Rourke, but I really, really like Coach Tim Alvin for Ohio. He's a really sharp guy. He had the Bobcats ready to play as they attempt to win their second bowl in a row. Last year, they won the Arizona Bowl. And then they're facing a Georgia Southern team. I do not like Clay Helton. He's the head coach for them. Not personally. Personally, he's a great guy, but I don't like the way that he approaches coaching football. He was a heavy run guy when he first got to Georgia Southern. Now he's going all in on the pass, but so much so that they lead the whole country in pass attempts, and that's never good, especially against a defense as strong as Ohio's. Now, Ohio is statistically one of the best defenses in college football. They rank top 10 in 8 major defensive statistics. I just think that they'll be able to turn them over a lot. You got Davis Brin, who transferred from Tulsa, quarterbacking for Georgia Southern, and he's thrown 16 interceptions on the year. Expect a few more this week. So give me Ohio plus 3.5. We also got to take the money line at plus 150. The books got this one backwards. It should have been Ohio minus 3.5. So in the Myrtle Beach Bowl, I'm going with Ohio plus 3.5 and Ohio plus 150. All right, guys. Another one in the books. Episode Kensei. We're all the way to 15, man. Getting on through this football season. Hey, once again, it's the 12 days of Christmas. So make sure that you subscribe. Make sure that you follow me on X at 5-Star in Vegas. Spell out the 5. Hey, I'll be giving out picks all Christmas break, all this time during the holidays for 12 straight days, starting on this Saturday. Making sure that you guys can put some presents under your Christmas tree. All right, for Spread Us There, for Cino Royale. Hey, man, this is the Waging World. As always, I dedicate this show to the greatest Houston fan to ever walk the earth, my father, John H. Lindsay. I do this for you, Dad. You guys follow us on all the platforms, Cino at Cino Royale, Spread at Spread Us There, and once again, me at 5-Star in Vegas. You do not want to miss the 12 days of Christmas. All right, guys, we'll see you next Friday. This is the Waging World.
Santa Claus goes straight to the ghetto. Hitch up your reindeer, go straight to the ghetto. Santa Claus goes straight to the ghetto. Fill every stocking you find. The kids are gonna love you so. Leave a toy for Johnny.